Thank you very much, Jeff. You said that exactly like I told you to. I really, truly am grateful for the trust that the shepherds have put in me this weekend. I've enjoyed the time that I have spent with your young people. They are pretty impressive, and you should be very proud of them. And young people, the people that were here all weekend, I just want to let you know I'm wearing my Spider-Man socks today. Because I knew I would get that question. Your teenagers and I have been looking at our origin story in Genesis this weekend. Because the better we understand how God set everything up, the better we understand the principles and the commands and the examples that we see at the very beginning of humanity, the better we're going to understand who God is, the better we're going to understand who we are and what God wants from us. Practically every topic that is being debated in culture today can be decided by understanding our origin story. I firmly, firmly believe that. We've looked at how God is the author of our story, which means we're not. And the author always has the authority to tell the characters how their life should go. We've looked at how we need to be trusting the story, because Genesis is history. It's not mythology. We've looked at how we need to be living the story and how we need to be sharing the story, because that is part of our purpose. So there you go. That's a little snapshot of the weekend right there. Now, for this morning, I was told that I could preach on whatever I wanted, but if it would tie into your yearly theme, that'd be kind of nice. And so, hopefully by now you are well aware that looking to Jesus is your theme, and that the key verse that you're taking it from is Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. That's the verse. And then I remembered that this same verse in the King James, in which we also just sang so beautifully, those lyrics happen to be taken from this translation, but in the King James it says, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I said, ooh, I can work with this. Tell me, what do you think would happen if the author entered the story that they wrote? If they were able to jump inside the world they created, do you think that the author might be pretty special compared to the other inhabitants of that story? Do you think the author would be able to do things that the characters couldn't? Do you think that if people interacted with the author of their story, do you think they might be changed by that forever? Do you think that there would be quite a ripple effect in the rest of the world if that ever happened? Well, that's exactly what happened when Jesus Christ came to earth and lived as a human. I want to spend some time this morning looking at, for lack of a better term, the historical fallout of Jesus. This teacher from Nazareth came and impacted the world, and the world was never the same. I want us to look at when the author entered the story this morning. Now, I'm going to let you know there's going to be a lot of talking up front and scripture at the end. So if you're like, well, when is he going to, he better get to the Bible pretty soon. It's coming. Trust me, there's just a lot of talking I got to do on the front end. Bear with me. Even though atheism and non-religious thought is on the rise, it is clear that a vast majority of people are interested in a higher power. Mankind has always been able to just kind of look around and go, yeah, we didn't just come here by accident. This isn't a random set of events for why everything is here. Some powerful entity must have created all of this. Now, people have come to vastly different conclusions about what that entity might be, but there are still a lot of interest in this. In fact, some researchers at some of the most prestigious universities, they kind of theorize that maybe a belief in a higher power is ingrained into our DNA. So let's say that's where you are this morning. Man, in a crowd this size, I am not so naive as to think there isn't somebody sitting here, maybe because I'm more forced to be here than I actually believe that I need to be here. That's highly likely in a crowd this large. Let's say that's where you are. You believe that a God exists. You believe that there is a faith that has the truth in it. But man, there's a lot of faiths out there. There's been a lot of spiritual leaders. There's been a lot of holy teachers throughout mankind. Where do you begin? Which one do I need to go to? Where should I start to look for the truth? Now, if you believe that there is an absolute truth, if you believe that truth doesn't change and that it can be known, if you believe those things, I think you're going to find the impact of Jesus really, really interesting. When you examine all of the ways that one man changed the history of the world. Now, I really appreciate the work of an apologist named J. Warner Wallace. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of this guy before. He, a homicide detective, a cold case detective, working in California for the past 40 years. He started his life as an atheist. And what he decided to do was to use his detective skills and look at the story of Jesus as a cold case. What can be proven? Are these things reliable? So he looked into it as a detective, and as a result, Wallace became a Christian. His most famous book is probably Cold Case Christianity. It's a really good one. I like that. But more recently, he wrote a book called Person of Interest, and it explores the impact of Jesus on history and how unique he must have been to have the impact that he did. I read the book. I really, really liked it. A lot of what I'm going to say this morning was inspired by this. Now, all the normal caveats and warnings apply when we're looking at a book that's written by a human author, but I like a lot of the points that Wallace brought out of this. We're going to start with a thought experiment. Let's say somehow man was able to destroy every Bible and every Christian writing that there was, if that were somehow able to be done. You could still reconstruct the story of Jesus from art, from architecture, from music, from literature, all the sciences, and a whole bunch of other world religions. If we had no Bibles, we could still reconstruct the Gospels and almost all of the New Testament just by looking at those areas. You can look at so many non-religious subjects and discover that the impact that this teacher from Israel had on them. We're going to look at those briefly at the end, but right now, what we're going to do is we're going to look and we're going to do this as humbly and respectfully as we possibly can. But we're going to look at how much Jesus has been borrowed or mentioned or merged or modified into other religious systems. If you're interested in a religious search for the truth, you might want to start with Jesus. There are religions that started before Jesus, and there are religions that started after him. And the really interesting thing is that almost all of them mention Jesus. They give him some little tip of the hat in some way. The religions that follow Jesus, they've got to acknowledge him. And what is so surprising to me is even the religions that started before Jesus somehow acknowledge him. Now, how can that be? How can they mention him if he hasn't even popped up into history yet? It's because the ones that existed before Jesus, they had to change after he came onto the scene. He made such an impact on the world, they had to accommodate him in some way. For example, Hinduism, ancient religion, hard to pinpoint, but started maybe about 2,000 years before Jesus, maybe longer, and beliefs within Hinduism, they can vary depending upon which part of the world you're in, which Hindu teacher you happen to be following. But all Hindu leaders agree, Jesus of Nazareth, pretty important. They consider him to be a good Hindu. They consider him divine and a source of morality. If you read the writings of Hindu leaders, you're going to see they've merged Jesus into their system, or they've mentioned him, or they've even quoted him in their scriptures. Hindus mention that he was born in a stable, that he was visited by wise men, that he worked miracles, that he preached sermons. Hindu leaders acknowledge that these things happened. If all you had were Hindu writings, you would know that Jesus is important. If you're living in an area of the world where Hinduism is the dominant religion, you know something about Jesus because Hindus talk about Jesus. There was another pagan religion called the Cult of Attis. It started about 1,200 years before Christ, and it continued on for a while after Christ. But after Christ comes on the scene, the story of Attis changes. Now, when their god Attis dies, their holy scriptures say his body did not see corruption. Does that phrase sound familiar to you? 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, Peter said, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. Attis never died and was resurrected before Jesus. And people are going to point to the Attis mythology and say, hey, this religion is older and they have a god that was resurrected from the dead. But the thing is, that resurrection did not become a part of their religion until after Jesus. The god Mithras, man, this is a big one. This is one that a lot of people claim, just like Jesus, and Mithras came first. He didn't really become popular until after Jesus, and it was not until after Jesus that the followers of Mithras taught that eternal life was achieved because of a blood sacrifice. And it wasn't until after Jesus that the followers of Mithras decided to remember that through a regular communal ceremony. None of that happened before Jesus. You know, even the Greek god Hercules was changed after Jesus. He was worshipped before Jesus, but after Jesus, the depictions of Hercules changed. Before Jesus, Hercules is this drunken fighter with a lot of illicit love affairs, a lot of questionable killings. After Jesus, that's when Hercules becomes this paragon of virtue. And some of his exploits now are some things like he walked on water, he ascended into heaven, and he is part of some divine trinity of gods. Maybe you've heard of the Hare Krishna movement that worships the god named Krishna. It's older than Christianity, but after Jesus, the origin story of Krishna changes. Now, Krishna's origin story is that he is born of a virgin, and he had to hide because there was this tyrant that wanted to kill all the babies. And his Krishna's life story includes the raising of a dead son of some widow that reads a whole lot like Luke chapter 7. And the Krishnas claim Jesus of Nazareth as one of their own. They call him a great guru sent by God. They acknowledge his sermons. They call him a son of God. They talk about how he was crucified. So if you're a Hare Krishna somewhere in the world today, you know something about Jesus just from your own spiritual leaders. One of the ancient thriving religions that's still going on today is Buddhism. And in Buddhism, Jesus is acknowledged as a leader, as a wise teacher, and somebody on their way to Buddhahood. Buddhist teachers, they love the sermons of Jesus. They mention him in their teachings, and they talk about his teachings and his miracles and his crucifixion and even his resurrection. All of it. If you're a Buddhist somewhere in the world today, you know something about Jesus, not from the Bible, but from your own Buddhist leaders. Now, all of these religions preceded Jesus on the timeline. And they all have to merge or modify things to incorporate Jesus of Nazareth. Man, there must have been something pretty special about this particular spiritual leader. So what about the ones that came after Jesus? Do you realize how much Islam is indebted to the Jesus story? He's considered a prophet of higher value than Muhammad. They acknowledge that he was born of a virgin, that he was a wise teacher, that he was a revered prophet, a miracle worker. They acknowledge he was a messenger sent from God, that he ascended to heaven to sit beside God, and that he is going to return to judge one day. If you are living somewhere in the world where Islam is the dominant religion, you know something about Jesus from the Quran. Another major religion today, not really well known in this country though, but it's called the Baha'i faith. It was started in the 19th century by a Persian religious leader whose name I'm going to try to pronounce now, but it's Baha'u'llah. And he wrote their holy scriptures, claimed that he was a manifestation of God. And he wrote a lot about Jesus. He wrote that Jesus was born of a virgin, divine son of God. He records a lot of incidents in Jesus' life. He even mentions followers like Peter in his writings. Baha'u'llah was also kind of navigating his own complicated relationship with his government. And he quotes Mark 12 in his writings to tell his followers, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's. There is another branch of the Muslim faith called the Ahmadi Muslims. Came out about the early 1900s. They not only claim that Jesus was a prophet, but they also say that he traveled to India after the crucifixion to further his teachings. And they record a lot of the same things that you can find about Jesus in other religions. Their holy scriptures have direct quotes from Matthew 7, Matthew 14, Matthew 21, Matthew 26, Matthew 27, and Luke 22. And then you got the New Age movement. Date of origin, hard to pin down. Hard to say exactly what they believe because New Age teachings are kind of all over the map. But almost every New Age spiritual leader thinks highly of Jesus. They will at least see him as some great teacher about morality. Brothers and sisters, Jesus' impact on global faith systems cannot be overestimated. Modern religions mention or merge Jesus into their teachings, and ancient religions often had to modify their beliefs to reflect Jesus' influence after he came and interacted with history. Just by using the writings of other world religions, we could learn about the birth of Jesus, the titles he went by, his teachings, his miracles, his disciples, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and his coming return. If all Christian Bibles were destroyed, we could still reconstruct a lot of information about the teaching of Jesus and the scriptures from the scriptures and statements of competing religions. Isn't that interesting? It seems all other prophets and spiritual leaders and holy people of other religions, they want to talk about Jesus. They feel the need to include him. And they all lean on him. They have him as part of their foundation. They all point to him some way. And never does Jesus return the favor. Everybody points to Jesus, wants to incorporate him, give him some credit. And as a result of that, a lot of people think that all paths lead to God because a whole bunch of places mention Jesus. But what did Jesus say? He said, I am the way. I am the singular one and only truth, and I am the life. And nobody comes to the Father except through me. Everybody else wants to include Jesus, claim him as one of their own, and he never mentions any other way except the words that he speaks and him alone. Think about that. So let's just consider the number of people that Jesus of Nazareth has influenced or affected in some way just through religion. Right? Right now, there is an estimated 7.8 billion people on the planet today. So how many of them know something about Jesus from their respective religious worldviews? Let's just start with the non-Christians that we've described so far. Okay, so as of most recent numbers, there is about 1.2 billion Hindus in the world. There's 1 million Hare Krishnas. There's about 535 million Buddhists. There's 2 billion Muslims. There's 7 million of the Baha'i faith. And there's about 12 million Ahmadi Muslims. If we now add in the 2.4 billion people that claim to be a follower of Christ in some way, of the 7.8 billion people in the world, there's about 6.15 billion people that know about Jesus. They are affected by him in some way. Virtually every corner of the known world has heard something about Jesus of Nazareth, even in places that have no access to the New Testament. They know about him. He matters to people all over the globe, even to people who've never read the Gospels, if somehow all the Bibles were destroyed. We'd still be able to reconstruct the story of Jesus from the scriptures and writings and statements of non-Christian religious leaders. In their presentation of what truth is, leaders of other world religions include Jesus of Nazareth. So man, that tells me he's got to be pretty important. Wouldn't you agree? I want to now quickly mention a few more things. How much did Jesus impact the world in other areas outside of religion? No other person has had a greater impact on literature than Jesus of Nazareth. No other historical figure has had as many books written about them. In the Library of Congress in DC, they keep this huge catalog of every historical figure that is mentioned or has a book written about them. Jesus is number one by exponents. I think number two is Abraham Lincoln. He doesn't even come close to how many books have been written about Jesus or how many books mention Jesus. There's no other historical figure that has had as many movies or screenplays written about them. And not just literature, man, the arts. You can reconstruct the Gospel of Mark just from the paintings of the first four centuries. Did you know that? The top three masters of every classical period of art history were inspired by Jesus. Because, man, religious art dominated every single period. Again, the three artists in every category of art history, even up to pretty modern times, they've painted, they've sketched, they've sculpted, or they've crafted Jesus of Nazareth in some way. Nobody else has had that kind of impact on the arts. And not just the West either. We're talking a global impact. Every nation, every genre, every master, every era has depicted Jesus in some way. If you want to erase Christianity, you better be ready to erase the history of art. Because that's what you need to do to get rid of Jesus. And he's had the same impact on music. Do you like reading music? Do you like notation? Sure makes song leaders a lot happier, right? Reading music, musical notation, you can thank a Christ follower for that. You do a search of the top 150 recording artists of all time. 150 of all time. 148 of them have recorded a song about Jesus. I'm talking every genre of music, every category. Throughout all of history, nobody's had a bigger impact on music than Jesus of Nazareth. And let's look at education. The top 15 universities in the world today were all founded by followers or believers in Jesus Christ. If you toured the campuses of those universities and you just looked at the buildings on these universities, you'd say, I don't know who this Jesus guy is, but he must be really, really important because there's pictures of him on every campus and all of these buildings have all of these words that he said all over them. science. The science fathers of every major discipline. I'm talking about the person that is thought of as the creator of that particular branch of science. All of them were believers in Jesus. The scientific revolution was started and led by Christ followers. For over 100 years, 64% of the Nobel Science laureates have believed in Jesus Christ. In fact, you know what? If you looked at what the science fathers wrote to each other in their own correspondence, in their own personal notes, you'd have a pretty robust description of our Lord. The personal writings of science founders tell the story of Jesus. Don't ever think that Christianity and science don't go together. If you wanted to erase Christianity, you might have to take all of science with you as well. No person in all of human history has had an impact on the world like Jesus of Nazareth. And we got to ask why. What kind of man must he have been? If you happen to be somebody who doubts as to whether or not this man even existed, if you're the type of person that says, hey, show me the evidence, show me the probability, show me the logic, I'll uno reverse that right back at you and say, Jesus, hey, what is the probability of a person that did not exist changing the world like this? Is that logical? I did a search of the most important figures of ancient history. I found this site depicting the 75 most important figures going back thousands of years before Jesus, contemporaries of Jesus, and about 400 years after Jesus. Now, bear in mind, to know they were important, something must have been recorded about them, right? And I didn't make this list. It wasn't even a religious group that made this list. It was an educational group that made this list. Now, here it is. The 75 most important figures written about in the ancient world. Oh, it doesn't quite fit. I'm sorry about that. But how many of these people can you name? And I'm not talking to Jeff Wilson. I'm talking about normal human beings. I consider myself pretty well versed in world history. I know about half the names on this list. And of those, there's only a handful I can tell you more than one fact about. Who else on this list has had an impact that's even close to the impact of Jesus of Nazareth? And I also think it's interesting that there's a forerunner of Jesus, Moses, and an apostle of Jesus, Paul of Tarsus, on this list as well. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't divide history in half by anybody else on this list. We don't mark time by when anybody else on this list was born. There are powerful generals, there's world leaders, there's conquerors on this list, there are philosophers, other religious teachers on this list. The other 74 people combined don't have a world historical impact like Jesus of Nazareth did. But there have been dozens. Oh yeah, did you know there have been dozens and dozens and dozens of people throughout history that have claimed to be the prophesied Messiah? Can you name any of them? They didn't leave a footprint in history. But this guy? He's from some tiny nowhere village, raised in another tiny nowhere village. He only spent 3 years teaching. He never traveled more than about 200 miles from his hometown. This is the guy? He was rejected by the religious leaders. He was hunted by those in power. He was eventually abandoned by the people who said they were his followers. One of them denied him. Another one betrayed him. He's mocked. He's falsely accused. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never led an army. He never married. He never had a family. He never had a social media platform where you can influence billions of people in a single day. This is the guy? He's lied about. He goes through a trial where everybody knows he's innocent, and he's still killed, and they have to borrow a grave to bury him in. This is the guy that changes history? How does this happen? How does a simple man change everything about the world? in 33 years on this planet. Remember, we're going to a thought experiment, so we're going to what if again. What if it's because he's not a simple man at all? You know, when a bomb goes off, they measure the impact and the fallout. When a meteorite hits the earth, they measure what happened around it. When something really big lands in the water, you see the ripple effects coming off of it. What if Jesus is exactly who he said he was? If God himself were to enter his creation, I expect there would be an impact and a ripple effect, don't you? He spoke as if he were God. You know, in the Old Testament, the prophets, they always included some kind of phrase, thus says the Lord your God, thus says the Lord. He didn't say that. He said, I tell you, truly, truly, I say to you. The prophet spoke for God. Jesus spoke as God. He said, I give them eternal life. They will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one's able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Jesus forgave sins. He used the name of Jehovah, the great I am. He accepted worship as God. What man could ever say or do this? He has the authority to judge. And more than one world religion agrees he's coming back to judge the world one day. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus of Nazareth, he's not just the person of interest. He is the God that should interest you. When the author entered the story, it created a ripple effect and it impacted every other aspect of humanity afterwards. We could make a case for the deity of Jesus Christ if there was not a single page of the New Testament available to us. Could a man who did not exist impact and change the world like this? And if he did exist, how important must he be? But the great thing is we don't have to worry about this thought experiment. Because we do have the Bible. We don't have to look at all the other things that mention Jesus. We have his book. We have the words of the author and the finisher of our faith. We have the book that is breathed out by God that is about nothing else but Jesus. The Bible is one story. It is a true story. And that story is all about Jesus Christ and what he has done for you. The truth is never scared of being examined. So go ahead, go examine, go look at other places. If you're honest, you'll come back to Jesus. In just a moment, we're going to be led in an invitation song. Love Divine. That's what the book is about. That's what our author did. That's what our author lived. And he did it for you. Now, you're never going to be able to have an answer for every single question you have about God and Jesus. You just won't. Everything about God, everything about the universe, everything about Jesus, everything you could possibly ask, you won't get an answer to. But there are so many things we do have answers to. When you're making your case in court, you don't have to prove anything beyond any doubt. You just have to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. We talked about this weekend with the teens. You don't need to have every piece of the puzzle to feel confident what the puzzle is a picture of. You can have a few pieces missing and say, yeah, I still know what this is. So yeah, there's some pieces that we don't have. But that's stuff along the edges. We have all of the pieces that let us know what is a picture of, and it is that Jesus is God, that he came to earth and that he died for you. And he said, whoever believes in me will have eternal life. He said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Do you need to do that today? I don't know where you are. But are you sure about Jesus? Are you sure about what he did for you and what he asks that you do for him? the young people at my congregation, they always make fun of me because there's a few phrases that I use. I'm like, oh, well, he's about wrapping it up. He's saying this. But one of the things that I say often, it's just because it's so true. If there is something that you need to do to get right with the author of our story, do it before it is everlastingly too late. Imagine the feeling of laying your head down on your pillow tonight and knowing you and God are good. Imagine that peace. Imagine that relief. I don't gotta worry about that anymore because I'm His. Do you need to do something about that? I know, you know, Jeff said, he's new to our congregation. I've never preached here. I know a lot of you guys. Some of us go way, way back. I was telling the teens, I probably played with a lot of your parents because I've spent many years growing up in the Houston area. So I know a lot of the people in this group. I feel really comfortable saying this because I know David and Jeff. All right, I can't do it right now, but what if I feel really convicted at 1 o'clock in the morning? Call. Somebody will meet you here. I'll bet you a lot of people would get up at 1 o'clock in the morning to meet you here to watch and praise with the angels as somebody gets right with God. Just take care of it. But if you feel convicted to do something right now in this moment, somebody will meet you down front while we stand and while we sing.